Yeah, we'll do that right now. What we did
Okay,
earlier,
so at
too.
least. And then I just speak into it, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
You're on the mic.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's meeting of the City of Tucson's Planning Commission. Let's see. Why can I hear myself? Can I still hear myself? Technical difficulties. The responsibilities of this body are to advise the Mayor and Council and the Planning Development Services Department on the adoption of long-range plans, policies, specific plans, and regulations that affect the land use and development. Now, will staff please call the roll?
Certainly. Vice Chair Kinney? Commissioner Lampo? Commissioner Lane? Commissioner McKenzie? Chair Ortiz-Pino? Commissioner Silva?
Here.
Commissioner Small?
Present.
Commissioner Walczak?
Present.
Commissioner Wellett?
Present.
Commissioner Young? And Commissioner Zagier? The record reflect that a quorum is present.
Thank you, Carver. Go ahead and call for the next item, number two, approval of legal actions report for July 16th, 2025. Chair would entertain a motion.
So moved. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the legal action report for July 16th, 2025, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Hearing none, looks like the ayes have it. Moving on, call for the next item. Number three, major streets and routes plan up public hearing. Would staff please make their presentation?
Good evening, commissioners. My name is James Castaneda from the Department of Transportation and Mobility. I'll be leading us through tonight's presentation. Thank you for joining us for this public hearing regarding the update to the major streets and routes map and plan. This evening, we are joined by the project team, Transportation Administrator Patrick Hartley, and Project Manager Ben Elias, who have been integral in putting this item forward. And with that, we will begin with the presentation. So some quick background. I know we've had a couple study sessions now in front of Planning Commission, but I wanted to go through briefly and identify some of the milestones that we've hit along the way. So DTM staff received direction from Mayor and Council back in October of 2023 to proceed with updating the Major Streets and Routes, or MSNR, map document. Since that time and through spring of this year, staff worked at revising that document, focusing on two key areas, both the future street right-of-way values as well as street designations, and we'll get back to that in just a moment. We did have a public outreach period that was open from about mid-April through the end of May, where we launched a project website through an ArcGIS platform, had an online survey, had some public events and presentations to stakeholders at that time. Our first time in front of Planning Commission was at the June meeting, where we presented an overview of the plan and some of the policies associated with it. That meeting was continued to July, where we presented some case studies on how those future street rights-of-way values, as well as the street designations, play out and the impacts those have in the plan. And tonight we are here for a public hearing for you to review, discuss, and potentially approve and advance this item forward to Mayor and Council. What that would look like, that final step in the amendment process as outlined in the UDC, would be a movement to Mayor and Council for potential review and adoption of the proposed changes. To briefly highlight some of the goals of this plan update, we wanted to make sure that this update was data-driven and community-informed, and really the key was to highlight the complete streets policy that the city has adopted and ensure that that is baked into the plan. Concurrently to that, we also made sure that the recommendations in the plan were informed by our transportation master plan, which is Move Tucson, and that we are providing that same policy within the recommendations that we have for the major streets and routes update. And finally, one of the goals was to maintain the existing regulatory structure of the map and plan. And that really comes from the direction of Mayor and Council. And we'll talk a bit more about that in a second. But we have a couple of additional details to provide Planning Commission based on our last public hearing, study session on this item. Briefly, again, a refresher. This is a, on the left, you'll see a map of the existing MSNR map document. And again, it highlights two key things, the identification of the future rights of way to facilitate long-term transportation investments. And it also establishes our street designations, essentially identifying what we consider to be arterial and collector streets within our street network. So since the last study session back in July, we had some updates, and Planning Commission, as you remember, did advance the item to a public hearing, which is happening right now. But with that, Planning Commission also posed a question about the map document, which was outside the scope of what we were tasked with Mayor and Council to revise. And the ask was, is that map document necessary and can it be considered for elimination? So staff took that, the plan document. Could we consider eliminating the plan document associated with major streets and routes? Sorry about that confusion there. So we consulted with the city attorney's office regarding that question, and what we learned was that it was beyond the scope of what the direction from Mayor and Council was to eliminate or sunset that plan document at this time. Any amendment or update to the plan document must follow the Unified Development Code Section 3.6. So essentially, Mayor and Council must initiate a look and review at the plan document before staff can proceed with revising it to include a potential elimination of that document. Now, that being said, there are a number of references, there is language, and there are figures that are shared between both the Major Streets and Routes map, which we are able to update, and the Major Streets and Routes plan. And what you'll see within your packet in Attachment D are some proposed red lines related to the plan document that reflect the language that's apparent in both and the suggested revisions, so that we can make sure that we are keeping both the map and the plan in conformance after this update. Beyond those suggested red lines, there are no substantial changes proposed to the MSNR map document beyond what the commission saw back in July. So digging in a little deeper into what those proposed red lines are, we wanted to show, just be very clear about where those elements exist between the map, the plan, and then our suggested red lines. So in this slide, you'll see on the left kind of third of this slide, you'll see the notes section, which is currently existing on the Major Streets and Routes map. That center section, the highlighted text, are those same notes as they exist within Policy 2, Section A of the Major Streets and Routes plan. And then on the right third, you'll see proposed red lines that would bring those two into conformance. Again, Attachment D has all the red lines within the plan that we're suggesting at this time be included in advance to the mayor and council should Planning Commission choose to do so. Talking about the red line specifically and what those entail, so I'll kind of go through a bulleted list of exactly what we're looking to amend within the plan document. And first, it would be in the intro section of the plan, there is a space that includes all previous amendments. So we'd like to set aside space to include this amendment if and when it passes through Planning Commission and then potentially Mayor and Council. Within Policy 2, Section A, which is the implementation section, we'd like to revise some out-of-date references to sections of the UDC. We'd also like to update the intersection values, which appear on the map document, as well as a table within Figure 1 in the plan document. Also, we'd look to provide a reference to UDC Article 5, Section 4.5, for updated guidance on the permitted use within the MSNR row area. There have been updates to the UDC fairly recently, and this would bring the plan document basically provide a reference to those updates and bring it into conformance with what's already existing in the UDC for that number. We'd also like to, in that same section, add references to the street design guide, as that does serve as the key principle that we use to make a lot of these recommendations. The street design guide has not been incorporated into the plan, so we'd like to bring it in and have those references available. And this translates also to Policy 2, Section B, where there are a number of street cross-sections that exist as Figures 3 through 8. Those cross-sections do not represent what the city now holds within the Complete Streets policy and within the street design guide. So we'd like to add a note there to reference that folks should look to the street design guide for updated street cross-sections for our roadways. We'd also like to talk about some additional public comments we've got since the last time we were here in front of Planning Commission. And those comments fit into two general themes. The first was general concerns about roadway design, characteristics, and safety. We made sure that those comments, all the ones we received via email, are logged and included in updated Attachment C, along with responses to those comments. And the second group of concerns were very specific, related to two roadways that we're proposing a redesignation, and that is Limberlost Drive between Fairview Avenue and Campbell Avenue, as well as portions of Mountain Avenue north of Roger Road to Limberlost Drive. We had some concerns from the community about redesignating both of those roadways as collector streets. In response to those concerns, we did meet with members of Campus Farms Neighborhood and Limberlost Neighborhood Associations last week to kind of lay out what the metrics we use to make those recommendations. And we also provided them in this slide to just call out the kind of metrics that we did use, which were fourfold. We looked at four key things, including traffic volumes, the current federal functional classification, the location of the roadways along our street grid, and existing pavement markings and traffic controls. And in the case of Limberlost and Mountain, those checked more boxes than not. So that is what led us to our recommendation for that those particular roadways. And the next slide, you'll see a draft final version of the major streets and routes map. Depending on the outcome of this meeting, this would be the draft map that would move to mayor and council for consideration and potential adoption if Planning Commission chooses to do so. It essentially includes all the updates we've been working to date. Primarily, again, it is the updates to future rights of way value, as well as any roadway reclassifications. On the right panel of the map, you'll see the elements there, including notes, a history of plan amendments, and the intersection diagram and table. Those are all currently exist on the current major streets and routes map, and we'd just be updating those to reflect the recommendations we have through this process. And then finally, we'd like to leave with the staff recommendation, which is staff recommends Planning Commission approve the proposed update of the major streets and routes plan and map and advance the item to mayor and council for consideration. And with that, happy to turn it over for any questions from the commission.
Thank you so much for your presentation. Appreciate that. I'd like to now open this up to the commission for any questions they have of staff. This would be in advance of the public hearing. So any questions?
I have a quick question.
Okay.
Remind me your name again, sir.
Sorry, James Castaneda.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. Yeah, the recommendations that we have proposed are based on current metrics for both of those roadways, yes.
All I would like to go ahead and open this up to members of the public for the public hearing. In general, there are 3 to 5 minute limit on for speakers, which may be extended at the discretion of the chair. Members of the commission may ask questions of the speakers, but we do ask each speaker be timely, and we want to make sure that those who would like to be heard have the opportunity. I don't think we'll have a big problem with that this evening. So I'd like to go ahead and call the public to speak. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Bonnie Polis. I reside at 1208 East Smoot Drive in the northwestern part of the Midtown. I am here tonight on behalf of the Campus Farm Neighborhood Association. We sent you a letter earlier this week outlining our reasons why we would like to have Limberlost and Mountain sections removed from the major streets and routes plan as collector streets. If you look at your attachment A, which is the map of the major streets and routes plan, and if you look up right near where the Rito River is, you can see where Glen is listed pretty much up here. And one of our complaints is that Tucson is based on a half-mile grid system. Arterials are generally located a mile apart. Arterials are spaced between them at a mile apart. To designate to designate Limberlost as a collector street would place it a little bit less than 2/10 of a mile from Roger Road, which is a major collector street, and would place it less than 1/4 mile from Wetmore Road, which is also listed as an arterial street on the major streets and routes plan. So although the metrics may pencil out for people in the engineering department, it does not pencil out with regard to how we have laid out our grid system within the city of Tucson. It would also add a collector street into our neighborhood. And as we know from the community corridors tool rezoning that took place several months ago, that designating a local street to a collector street not only has transportation implications, but definitely has development considerations that are necessary for you to consider if you agree to move this forward the way transportation has presented it to you. Limberlost is, well, let me go back to Mountain Avenue first. Mountain Avenue is a designated collector street from Roger Road south to the university. The section that goes north from Roger Road has a signalized traffic stop at Limberlost and then goes on to Prospect Lane where it dead ends. There is really no safety or transportation reason whatsoever to designate Mountain Avenue as a collector street from Roger Road to Limberlost. You would thereby be leaving it as a local street north of Limberlost to Prospect Lane, which is only about a 0.15 miles from that intersection. The one reason that we object to these designations within the Campus Farm neighborhood is that now the 60 acres of the Campus Farm located to the west of Campbell Avenue would be completely surrounded by by major streets. That means that the university will be under yet increased pressure to sell off or lease that property for development because of those roadway considerations. We believe that this move to designate Limberlost as a collector street, yes, it meets certain metrics, but there are several streets within the major streets and routes plan and within the city of Tucson that are designated under the federal guidelines as a collector street or an arterial street, but are not necessarily reflected within our local plan. And that's really no reason to designate a street as a collector street when it's primarily residential except at its nodes. And if you look at one of your other attachments that you got today that looks at the proposed additions and properties that might be eligible under the CCRT for development, you'll see that this is really a change that affects development more than it affects roadway changes. And our complaint as neighbors is that by increasing the development potential, you thereby increase the traffic and the speed of the traffic on that street, and that's exactly what we're trying to avoid. Also, the Northside Area Plan and the Campus Forbes Sub Area Plan have their designated major streets listed in the document. And a number of our development policies relate to the status of the street as either a local street or as a major street. So in our mind, this change to the Major Streets and Routes Plan essentially equates to a plan amendment to the Northside Area Plan without going through any of the plan amendment processes or gathering the information that you need from the residents who live there. I appreciate your attention and hope that you will request that those two street segments be removed from the proposed MSNRS collectors.
Chair Ortiz-Pino, can we ask questions for follow-up?
Yes.
Bonnie, thank you so much for your letter. Thanks for your comments. I have a question actually directed at staff. When we started these presentations, I was sort of under the same impression that Bonnie's under about what a designation change to a street could mean. But I also want to point out in Bonnie's letter, the expressed stated desire to have safer streets built, safe sidewalks. There are no sidewalks along Limberlost. We learned a lot in the last presentation about how changing some of these designations allows the city the right-of-way guarantee to be able to build out complete streets. Is that the case here? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Commissioner Walczak, thank you for your question. This one is a bit of a special case. Any corridor that we were adding to the MSNR in this cycle that was currently designated or classified as a local street, and we were changing that to a collector in most cases, was really a function of description. And with that, we were not adding any right-of-way setback requirements with that reclassification, because one of our guiding principles was that we weren't in any case looking to reduce or add additional development obstacles to these roadways. So we added those corridors, the ones that are new on this update, as what we're calling the zero value, or those that have no additional setback requirements. That said, it does not preclude us moving forward with a number of traffic calming and safety investments. In fact, we have an active project on Limberlost right now that's under design from First Avenue to Fairview, which will be adding speed tables, narrowing travel lanes, adding bike lanes, advancing a road diet, and we will also be considering a reduction in the speed limit on the corridor. The purpose of the redesignation is, in particular with these corridors that function as collector streets currently, oftentimes it makes it a matter of staff discretion when we apply the certain restrictions or kind of the policy framework that hangs off of the street classification to those roadways. To give a specific example, our pavement cut moratorium with repaving is applied to major streets and routes. So, you know, every time that there's a pavement cut after, say, Limberlost is repaved, we have to make a determination. Are we going to treat this as a collector street or as a local street to apply that pavement moratorium? In terms of barricading for when there's projects that are happening, there's a different level and a different standard that is expected for traffic control under an active construction zone when something is classified as a collector street versus when it is classified as a local street. Again, we have engineering judgment that we can apply in the department, and oftentimes it becomes staff discretion that we're going to apply those traffic controls based on a determination that this kind of looks, feels, operates like a collector street currently. So really the intent is to bring it into alignment with that policy intention. The intention is not to encourage additional traffic, to encourage widening the roadway, or to change in any way the way either Mountain or Limberlost currently operate.
Commissioner McKenzie.
Thank you. This is a question for Bonnie. You in the written comment, you mentioned something about the designation change affecting the veterinary school accreditation? Could you elaborate on that, please?
The Veterinary School of Medicine applied for accreditation 3 different times. The last time they applied and were accepted, part of that accreditation was pivotal on the use of the Campbell Avenue Farm as a vehicle for training of the medical students in their program. However, every few years, the university and the neighborhood hears about a development plan to take land from the campus farm. This kind of designation by putting 3 collector streets and arterial street on the perimeter surrounding the campus farm, in our mind, will increase the pressure on the university to use this or to sell this off instead of using it as a campus agricultural center. And if that were to happen, that would also jeopardize the veterinary medical school accreditation.
Just a quick follow-up. Those short segments that you referred to, I'm just curious, is there something specific that in terms of the implications of those, or is it just that those are the first short segments, you know, in the Tucson MSNR? The point two and the point whatever, you know, you said these were the short collector streets, shortest collector street segments in the city.
I'm not sure I made that statement. I'm not sure that's an accurate representation. However, in the case of Mountain Avenue, there's farm on one side between Roger and Limberlost, and there's built-out residential development on the other side. There is a lot less traffic on that, except during rush hour when people are getting off of First Avenue or Campbell and taking Mountain Avenue to the university. There's no one that I know that really considers that a roadway in need of improvement. It was improved during the Mountain Avenue Bicycle Pedestrian Project, and is pretty well built out with room for pedestrians and bicyclists. In fact, it's a bit wider than the rest of Mountain Avenue to the south of Roger Road. Limberlost was designated as either a collector or arterial when it was in the county. However, when the city annexed that property, which was after 1987 when the Northside Area Plan was approved, it was designated as a local street. It was a collector street to the west of First Avenue. However, in 2006, it was downgraded to a local street. And I'm not quite sure of the reasoning for that, but the neighborhood, both Campus Farm and Limberlost Neighborhood Association, were very pleased about that because of the potential for future development on a major street.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the public? Yes, sir. Please state your name and your address, please. And
my name is John. Let me go over here. My name is John Kimball, and my address is 128 North Country Club. I just wanted to bring something up about a piece of property that's located right at Country Club and Broadway. It was dedicated by Seal Peterson to be protected. It's approximately 3 acres. It was never to be touched. It was to be left just exactly as it is, as a reminder to the people of Tucson exactly what Tucson looked like, and it has the same type of, there's nothing, much of Tucson's beautiful stuff on the streets, like cactus and the trees are being chopped down very quickly to build more buildings. And pretty soon, I suppose, most of the natural flora and fauna that's located in these areas, and it will be gone. So I'm just wanted to bring it to the commissioner's attention that that piece of strip of property was donated by Seal Peterson just prior to her death, and it was to be protected. And lately I've been noticing a lot of changes in the trees. They seem to be being cut down, and as well as possibly poisoned. So I don't know if any of that's true, but it just appears that to be, because I live right next to it. I live in Seal Peterson's old house, if you happen to know who she is. She was a wonderful person for Tucson. So it's 3 acres, corner of Country Club and Broadway. It was given to the city of Tucson by Seal Peterson to be protected and not to be torn down and destroyed. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention, since this happened to be about streets, and that's Broadway and Country Club, which is dead center Tucson area. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Do I see anybody online that would like to raise their hand who would like to speak at the public hearing? Seeing none, at this time I'd like to see if we'd like to make a motion to close the public hearing.
No, I'll go. Oh my. Can you guys hear me?
If it's red, it's on.
Keeps turning off though. That's weird. In any event, I would make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor closing the public hearing?
Aye.
Public hearing is now closed. Like to go ahead and open this back up for any general discussion.
I guess can I ask another question?
Yes.
I guess I want to just ask you again, Patrick. I'm going to use very simple, straightforward language here. If Limberlost and the Campus Farms area came into a pile of money and could build sidewalks on Limberlost, is there anything right now with its current designation that would prevent that from happening?
No. Typically, the only thing that might be affected is we, as a kind of informal policy in the department, if we came into a pile of money, for sidewalks, tend to prioritize major streets. That said, if that money were earmarked or dedicated to Limberlost and there was a project moving forward on it, there's nothing that would preclude it as a local street to get the full suite of improvements.
Okay. And I guess for commissioners up here, I don't know, how do you all feel about recommending Limberlost not move forward with changing the designation?
I'm with it being designated a collector. I mean, it functions like a collector, just based on what I've seen.
I agree with this, Commissioner Long. The designation comes from how the street functions right now and the zoning in the street right now. It's not something that the city's proposing. It's just bringing it into conformity with what's happening. So I can see why it shouldn't be designated that way.
If I may jump in, I agree with those points made as well. When you look at Limberlost as a corridor, it carries R2 zoning along predominant of the corridor there, and then commercial, office, etc. And so it's intended to be a higher trafficked road, if you will. So I'm comfortable with moving forward per staff's recommendation.
Chiming in, I'm just thinking about how I use Limberlost when I'm driving up there, and it's usually to cut from Campbell over to First and Oracle, and that I think is the designation of a collector street, and that's how I use it. But back to the point about the zeros, the intent is not to propose any changes to that street. It will essentially function in the same way that it does now.
That is correct. It's a change of the designation. We are not assigning a future right-of-way or setback to it in anticipation of any widening or other improvements. What we would want to do there, the sidewalks, could be done within the existing right-of-way.
I guess I'll ask the developers on our commission here, does a change of designation in a road incentivize development?
I mean, I'll go ahead and answer the obvious one. It's to the concern that I think Ms. Paulus brought up, is it opens up the CCT in that realm. But when we look at the zoning designations on the corridor already, it already supports, without a designation of a collector road, to be more of an intensive development. It's not zoned, with the exception of the campus farm. Most of that, whether, you know, even if it is a single family residential neighborhood, it is zoned R2, and much of the land around that. And so because of that higher density that is already allowed for, it makes sense to upgrade that. And then I agree with Commissioner Small's point, is that it is exactly serving as that collector today. So
I think I would add that the area is pretty built out. I don't see very many vacant parcels, obviously the exception being the campus farm, but that being the U of A Board of Regents property, they can essentially do whatever they want with that anyway. So I would agree with Commissioner Wellett on that.
Now, if I may, I have a question for staff as it relates to the segment of mountain that Ms. Paulus is mentioning here. She brought up the fact of Prospect Lane just north of that. That's not designated on the map. Can you guys speak to that? Why is Prospect Lane not included? Why does it just intentionally end where it does? And what is the rationale for including it if it does not all the way connect?
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. So the intention there was really to tie it in and connect it back to Limberlost, where you see significant reduction in traffic volumes. You see a lot of turning movements that are happening on Limberlost and Roger in both directions, onto and off of Mountain. So the traffic volumes and kind of the connections to neighborhoods are far lower north of that section, and the roadway operates in a very different way, I think driven largely by that reduction in traffic volumes.
Thank you.
Sounds like there's been good discussion. Does anybody have a motion?
I'll make a motion to recommend approval to Mayor and Council of the proposed MSNR plan. And do we have a date for that? At their next regularly scheduled public hearing?
Do I have a second?
I second the motion.
Mike.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. The ayes have it. Go ahead and as proposed. Oh. Are there any nays? Hearing none. Thank you, Corin. I'm getting back into the swing of things here. Okay, we have a hearing date with the mayor and council. Thank you so much for your work and your presentation.
Yes, thank you. Much.
Item number 4, PDSD staff announcements.
Sure, thanks, Corin. Yeah, wanted to just put something on your radar. So as you may know, Planning and Development Services has been working on middle housing changes related to House Bill 2721. We did some public outreach on this I think it was like late spring or so. Went back to Mayor and Council with feedback, and they gave us some additional direction. And over the summer, we've been working on a proposal. Proposal we're just finalizing right now, and we're getting ready to do some public outreach. We wanted to make you aware that there's 3 meetings coming up related to this. And we'll share the details of those, 2 virtual, 1 in person, the last week in August. And we really want to encourage you to join those and kind of learn about this. This is something that's going to be coming to you soon. And there's a pretty short deadline on this. We have to have all the changes adopted prior to January 1st, 2026. For this, just as a little bit of kind of a preview as far as, you know, what you'll be seeing at those. So middle housing is, it was a bill to basically require the allowance for duplexes, triplexes, quads, and townhomes within a mile of the central business district. And with some other stipulations related to having the same regulations for single family homes as up to four units. And so there's a bunch of things related to parking, landscaping, et cetera, that are going to be in that. But something that we just wanted to kind of let you know about and kind of put on your radar, and we'll be kind of sharing that information with you. And looking at, I think, a study session, the second meeting in September for that.
So Dan, quick question.
Yes.
I want to attend two of the meetings that you're holding, the virtual and then the one in person. I have prior engagements. I have meetings during those times. And then I looked at the last date and we have a potential planning commission meeting on that day. I think at the same time too.
Yes. So we will not have a planning commission meeting that evening. So there shouldn't be a conflict for any of you for, I believe that's the in-person meeting on the Wednesday.
Oh, is it?
I believe so.
And the virtual sessions, will those be recorded?
Yeah, and those will be recorded. We'll post all of those. And I do encourage you to check out the website. There's a lot of really great information on there. We put an FAQ up there as well. So it can give you some good background information related to that.
Thanks.
Yeah, we'll update that appointment to clarify there won't be a second planning commission meeting in August. Just one other announcement is, you may have heard that data centers are a hot topic in Tucson if you've been around this summer. Mayor and Council directed us to develop a code amendment to regulate data centers in Tucson at their meeting last week. So that's another code amendment that we'll be working on and we'll be bringing to Planning Commission. We're actually thinking about doing more of an informational discussion with Planning Commission on this in the near future. So kind of at the outset of the process, having some conversation with Planning Commission just to provide some background and get some input, and then develop the code and bring it back to Planning Commission probably early next year. So more to come on that, but we'll be looking at how to define data centers in our code. They are currently not well defined as a use, as this is a very new use that we're seeing, and then looking at regulating them through a special exception process and defining development standards and use specific standards for data centers.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Future agenda items.
So as of now, we don't have anything definitely set in stone other than those two items we just talked about, which should be coming to you second meeting in September.
Excellent. Thank you. And seemingly as a formality, call to the audience, hearing and seeing none online. I'd like to go ahead and call a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
We are adjourned. Thank you so much.